Welcome, everybody. This is David Newman, and today's topic, low-hanging fruit strategies to rapidly increase your sales. And my special guest today is Stacy Hyland. And let me tell you a little bit more about Stacy before we say hello. Stacy Hyland is known as the Business Optimizer Coach. For over a decade, Stacy has been helping six- and seven-figure entrepreneurs with powerful marketing and sales strategies to get more clients, more profits, and more time off to enjoy who and what they love. She's a sought-after international speaker who was chosen by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert G. Allen as a speaker for the promotional tour for their New York Times best-selling book, The 1 Minute Millionaire. Stacy is also a contributing author to Living an Extraordinary Life. She's the creator of three popular self-study programs, Selling with Confidence, Getting a Yes Without Being Pushy, Becoming a Magnet, Attracting Your Perfect Clients, and the upcoming and very exciting low-hanging fruit strategies to rapidly increase sales. Stacy also provides high-level business coaching on sales and marketing through Chet Holmes and Anthony Robbins' Business Breakthroughs International. So let's say a fabulous warm hello to Stacy Hyland.
Well, hello, David. Thanks for having me today. I'm looking forward to sharing with your group here.
Well, this is just tremendous because I think everyone is after more sales and everyone loves the concept of low-hanging fruit. So even before we jump in, I want to let people know that your empire is online at www.businessoptimizercoach.com. And later in the call, we're going to share a resource specific to the low-hanging fruit strategies that you've prepared just for folks listening to us right now. But let's save that for later. We'll save a little bit of intrigue.
I think that we want to share that with them right away so that when they're listening to this, they can actually have it in front of them so they can take better notes. And
we are just spilling the candy in the lobby. We're giving away the cookies here in the first 2 minutes.
But it's going to help them implement faster, and it's going to help them get more.
All right. I love it. So here's the story. www.businessoptimizercoach.com/D Newman. D for David. Newman is N-E-W-M-A-N. That's me. That's Stacy's gift for folks who are listening to us right now. And it's got step-by-step strategies and tactics and ideas to implement everything that we're going to spend the next 45 minutes talking about. So let me give that to you again. It's www.businessoptimizercoach.com/D Newman. So Stacy, let's jump right in. Where you're giving value first. You are believing in this value first approach, which I love. And so let's jump right in. Once folks are on there, or even as they're listening to us, you obviously have worked with hundreds and hundreds of business owners and entrepreneurs. Let's talk about where things go wrong. What are some of the mistakes that you see business owners making all the time, and especially perhaps in today's economy?
Okay, that's a good thing to talk about, because I think that before we start, you know, culling that low-hanging fruit, you want to look at what you're doing that could be costing you sales, costing you profits. So I'm going to go over six things that will help your listeners. The first thing is lack of strategic planning. So, you know, a lot of people do things very haphazardly. I'm sure you've seen that people, you know, you ask them, do they have a marketing plan? They don't even have a marketing plan when they show up, which is hard to believe that anybody would be in business without the planning. But what you want to look at as a business owner is everything that you do should be strategic. So, for example, before you build your website or before you put up a Facebook page or before you create a sales script, you want to ask yourself, what is my strategic objective for this thing that I'm building? And when you have that in mind, then it's much easier to get the results that you want. So some examples of just some strategic objectives for people. So, for example, if I was building a I'll just give you an example I did with a client this week. We were doing some autoresponders, which are the automatic emails that you get when you sign up for something.
Sure.
And what we looked at is most of their people that were probably signing up were maybe baby boomers, and some of them might not be really technical because they were in retail. And So what we wanted to do is, number one, reassure them that they made the right decision to sign up for this webinar. We also wanted to make them know that the information was going to be extremely valuable. So one of our strategic objectives was to make sure that they show up for the call. So we emphasized the importance of the material, the fact that it was going to be a one-on-one. And then the other thing we wanted to do in this email was to make them feel comfortable and not scared of that technology. So we also, you know, at the bottom of the email, we said, you know, if you haven't used this technology before, here's some step-by-step information. It's very simple. You know, click here if you need some more help. So instead of just sending out a quick email saying, here's when your webinar is, we did it very strategically so that we were trying to convey a feeling, and we thought of that before we crafted the email. So, again, look at your strategic objectives. And then the other thing in terms of lack of strategic planning is that most people are very reactive instead of proactive. And, you know, they're waiting for things to happen to them instead of creating their own opportunities. So when you do the strategic planning, you can look at the year ahead and you can say, okay, well, for example, in 2012, it's an Olympic year. Okay, everybody knows that every 4 years there's Olympics, right? Now there's Olympics every 2 years, winter and summer. So that would be something that you could plan for in your year, in your marketing. You know, these things happen over and over again. So that would be one thing that I would consider to look at in your business and how you can improve it. The second mistake I see over and over, and I'm sure you see this tons with your clients, is that people are working in the business instead of on their business. Now, you're probably familiar with this concept from the E-Myth with Michael Gerber, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what happens is, and this is very common for small business owners because, you know, we're the chief cook and bottle washer a lot of times when we first start out. And what happens is they get so busy doing things that they're just doing the busy work. If the, for example, if you're a web designer, you might be building websites for people. Instead of looking at how you can market your business of building websites, look at how you can improve the systems to improve your business, improve your client experience when they work with you, things like that. So that's another area to look within your business.
Huge, huge. I mean, we see that all the time. And, you know, it's funny, when you mention, you know, we've probably heard this before. Michael Gerber talks about this. A lot of small business experts talk about it. You can never talk about it often enough because people are still doing it.
It's just like weight loss, you know. It's
exactly.
Diet, but everybody still needs to know how to lose weight. Right?
And they still need to revisit that over and over and, you know,
right,
until they actually start implementing it.
Right. And the problem is that we might start working on the business, but then what happens is that, you know, I talk about the feast or famine in businesses. And the thing is that all of a sudden they start to get a feast. They get tons of new clients, tons of new things to work on, and they fall off the wagon on working on the business.
Yeah.
And that's when they go into the famine because they stop doing the things that got them clients in the first place. Let's talk about the third mistake. The third mistake is lack of accountability. You know, and this is, again, in all parts of our lives. It's not just in our business. But people are not good at implementing. And, you know, one of the reasons is that they don't have any accountability because we are, as small business owners, we're the boss, so we don't have anybody to report to. So that can be a very dangerous situation.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing a project, there's no real deadline on it, and so what happens is that the deadline keeps getting pushed back, pushed back, pushed back. Before you know it, instead of having, you know, 6 launches per year like you were planning, you end up with only time to have 3 launches per year. You know, which you can imagine would have a big effect on how much income you're generating.
Yeah.
So there's different ways to address this. One of the ways that you can do accountability for yourself is tracking. So you want to make sure that tracking is in place because a lot of people don't have that in place. And what that'll do is that, you know, it's like that Seinfeld chain. Have you heard about that?
I don't think so.
I don't know if it was on the episode, but it's a Seinfeld chain where you try not to break your chain of days of doing something. So it could be days of eating green vegetables. It could be days of, you know, calling one client a day or whatever it is. So you actually try to keep this train going, this chain,
yeah,
going, so that you don't break it. So you could do it in your calendar. You could do it in an online form. There's lots of ways to really track what you're doing. And I like what Dr. Stephen Covey says, is accountability breeds responsibility. And Chet Holmes, who I work with Tony Robbins, he says that people respect what you inspect. And that's true for the people that you have working for you, and it's also true for yourself. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have somebody else that's inspecting what you're doing.
Yeah.
The fourth mistake is that, you know, and this is a real prosperity thing too, is that business owners are focusing on cutting back on the little things in their business versus investing the time, energy, and resources on growth. So I call this the paperclip phenomenon. You know, the people will go to Staples and they'll look at, you know, well, you know, what are the cheapest paperclips? You know, they're trying to save 20 cents or 10 cents on their office supplies. You know, versus saying, okay, you know, first of all, should the business owner even be looking at the office supplies, or should they have outsourced that? And, you know, is that 10 or 20 cents or the time spent to save that going to be better invested into growing your business?
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, if you're doing that, especially since, the, you know, 2008 when the economy slowed down, you know, people are doing that and it's really hurting them because they're focusing on the wrong thing. The fifth thing is lack of resourcefulness. Now, this one, a few years back, I attended Tony Robbins' Ultimate Business Growth Masteries Summit. He does this every year in Vegas. It's a $20,000 event for business owners. And, you know, he operates this. He's only been operating this since the recession started. So the thing that got me out of that whole, it was a five-day event, was that you know, he talked about resourcefulness and that there's always somebody that you know or can see as an example that's more successful than you at something that has less resources to do it with. So, for example, somebody has a bigger business than you and they didn't have the education you had. They didn't have the parents you had. They didn't have the money you had to get started. I mean, for example, you see a lot of immigrants that come to this country. They start with nothing and they create these amazing businesses. And so what he said is the difference between the people that haven't reached that level of success and the people that have is their resourcefulness. So what can you do, you know, if there's this wall or obstacle in front of you, what can you do to get over it? You know, can you cut a hole in the middle of it? Can you have somebody else help, you know, boost you up? Can you have somebody pull you over from the top? You know, there's always a way. So really look for, you know, am I letting things stop me or am I being resourceful in this situation? And, you know, this is something I look at when I'm hiring as well, that, you know, when I bring people onto my team, I don't want people that are going to say, oh, well, I couldn't get that to work. You know, okay, well, come back to me with, you know, the challenge, and I've tried these three ways or these five ways, you know, do you have any suggestions? Because a lot of times, especially now, I mean, you've probably seen this, is that people just give up so quickly, and then they bring something back to the other person.
And huge, huge.
Fun.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is like, you know, back, depending on your age, this would be what we would call the MacGyver strategy if you're older. And if you're younger, you may remember the Kiefer Sutherland series 24. So think in terms of Jack Bauer. You know, Jack Bauer is a no-excuses kind of guy. The boat blows up. The helicopter is shot. He gets betrayed. He gets stabbed. He keeps going. I mean, he keeps going, to your point that you have to be resourceful and resilient. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I love both of those examples. I love MacGyver and I love Jack Bauer. We're huge Jack Bauer fans.
And, you know, imagine Jack Bauer going, yeah, you know, the guy wasn't there. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we couldn't stop the bomb, right?
Exactly. Couldn't stop the bomb. Oh, well.
The president wouldn't see me today, so.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's the sort of, you know, and that might be a good, you know, thing for a business owner to adopt, is to, you know, take on that Jack Bauer, you know, persona and say, okay, if I was Jack Bauer and I was doing this, what would I do?
Totally.
You know? And I always say, you know, if I was Tony Robbins, what would I do?
Yeah.
Because since working with him, you know, I can see that, you know, he's not giving up at stuff and how that's worked. Oh, that's fun. Well, I think that's a really good way to, you know, maybe put something for MacGyver-ish, you know, like a piece of gum and a rubber band or something.
Exactly.
Whatever it takes. Well, the sixth mistake that I see people making is not using leverage. And this is something that I'm really passionate about. I'm writing a book called The Power of Leverage, Getting More Out of Less in the New Economy. And the thing about leverage is that a lot of times people will do something and they'll only get one use out of it. And, you know, the power of leverage is amazing because you can do more with the same thing. And in this economy, people, you know, business owners are telling me, well, I need to get more out of less. I have less employees. I have less, you know, cash to work with. I have less of everything. So what you want to look at is whenever you're doing something, how can I leverage this thing that I'm doing, whether it's a blog post? Like, for example, that's a very common one, is that people will write a newsletter or a blog post and they won't do anything with it after.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways that you can leverage just one article that you wrote. You know, put it on Facebook, put it on LinkedIn, start a discussion about it on LinkedIn, put it on Twitter. I mean, there's, you know, you can make a video out of it. You know, we could probably come up with, you know, 50 different
ways. Oh, absolutely. No, I love this. You can send it to, you know, send it to an editor, send it to an association publication that has a newsletter, submit it as a guest blog. I mean, you're so right. It's endless. And people go, well, you know, my blog hasn't done a lot for me. It's like, well, what have you done to promote all your beautiful content?
Right.
You know,
right.
Post it and forget it is not a good blogging strategy.
No, exactly. You know, and I think that, you know, some other examples of using leverage are even, you know, people are looking into outsourcing. You know, there's virtual assistants that can help you get more out of the time that you have.
Great point.
You know, other thing is that, you know, there's softwares now that make things much easier. So, for example, saying you don't have enough time to do social media is not an excuse anymore. I mean, you can have Hootsuite that sets you up to be able to do everything automatically.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything that you do, you want to be looking, again, resourcefulness and leverage. And those two things really go hand in hand.
And I know that we're going to talk probably later, but I know that this is also part of your programs and your process, is you're a huge believer in systems and systematizing.
Yeah, it's really important. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we look at is not just, you know, what is your marketing plan, what is your sales, you know, presentation. People a lot of times will say, oh, well, I have a sales presentation, but do you have a sales system? Do you know what happens at every step? And again, it goes hand in hand out of getting more leverage out of that lead, right? If you have a lead and you just give up, you know, after the first three contacts, you're not going to get much business out of it. But
yeah.
If you start looking at, okay, how can I be resourceful with this lead? How can I make every interaction I have with this person be meaningful, build rapport? Again, it goes back to that whole strategic objective. If somebody comes into your funnel, what are your strategic objectives when you talk to that person? You know,
absolutely.
I want to establish my expertise. I want to become a resource for this person. So even if they're not buying right now, you're building that whole like, know, and trust factor with them.
Well, and you are such a fabulous resource for people and business owners and entrepreneurs. I want to remind people of the resource that you prepared for us in case they haven't popped over there yet. Just right now, as you're listening to Stacy's voice and to my voice, go right now on the web to www.businessoptimizercoach.com/D Newman and download her fabulous Action Pack implementation kit that will get you rolling and it will generate some awesome results if you implement it.
Yes, and we're going to start jumping into the, you know, I'm going to give some real steps here, so that's why they want to make sure they have the guide, because I've done this, you know, I've talked about these low-hanging fruit strategies with a lot of different audiences, and the people that actually take action, you know, they're emailing me, they're writing on my Facebook wall and saying, wow, I did that one strategy, and, you know, I got new clients, and, you know, I got all this business. So you definitely want to be doing this stuff.
Love it. And so let's dive right in. I mean, the topic today is all about low-hanging fruit strategies to rapidly increase sales. What do you mean, Stacy, by low-hanging fruit, and why is this a good strategy to use right now?
Well, the thing is that when you're in business, you want to focus on the 20% of your business actions that are going to get you 80% of the results, which, you know, is the Pareto principle.
Yeah.
So the low-hanging fruit is one of those 20% of the things that's going to give you 80% of the results. And when I was designing this program, I looked at what have I done in, you know, over a decade of working with entrepreneurs that get them really quick results, hence the rapid profit boosters, and can be done without having a lot of money to invest and without having a big team, because it's easy if, you know, you have a huge company and huge resources to do stuff, But when you have a small business and you're looking at limited resources, what can you do? So these are things that you might be overlooking in your company. They're quick and easy to implement, and they can rapidly increase your sales and profits. And they're very low cost to implement. So that's, you know, really why a small business owner, you're going to leave this, you know, call today with us and be able to say, okay, what am I going to implement this week? What am I going to implement next week? And start getting these things working in your business.
And so are we going to just jump right in, or are there some other things that we have to have in place before we implement these low-hanging fruit strategies?
Yes. And one of the things I would just caution people is that, you know, the strategies that we're going to jump into might seem really simple. And, you know, a lot of times people will say, oh, I know that. But the question is, are you using these strategies consistently in your business? So that's really, you know, like you mentioned about the systems, is that we want to set up a system to start implementing these in the business.
Yeah.
So here's a good place to start before we do the low-hanging fruit strategies is a little exercise. And, again, this is in your download that I sent you that you can download. The first thing to look at is how much is a client worth to you? Now, this is a really important number to know because this allows you to know how much money you can spend on marketing, what you can pay salespeople if you start hiring salespeople, and it also is going to give you a lot more impetus to actually say, oh, this strategy, if I get one client, might be worth $500, or if I get, you know, three clients, it could be worth $1,500 just for this time that was spent on the phone together.
Yeah.
And then dig a little deeper. What is your average sale? Your average sales per month, per year, and then your lifetime value of the client. Because somebody might say, well, my client, you know, if you have a lower cost product, say, for example, you know, you have a restaurant or something, and, you know, the average ticket is $60. Well, yeah, that might not be that much right up front. But if you look at the lifetime value of that person, you know, the average person moves every, I think it's like 5 to 7 years. And so if you looked at, okay, well, if I could keep them coming back once a month, that's $720 right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then if you extend that to how long most people keep coming to you, you can increase that. And then some of the strategies that we're doing, you can increase that average sale. So that's why the tracking is really important. Another question to ask yourself is, how many clients do you want or need this month? So that way you'll know how fast you need to take action with this stuff and, you know, how many of these you're going to implement right away. And then as we go through, you know, don't just listen to this. I want you to go through and pick the strategies as we go through these and say, okay, I'm implementing this right now.
So I've got my average client value. I've got my average sale for my typical products and services broken down by month, by year, and customer lifetime value. And I've got my goal of how much I want and need to add in sales this month. And I guess it's that short term because obviously it's low-hanging fruit. And if we implement these things that we're talking about, this will ring the cash register sooner rather than later.
Right. And that's the whole thing about this is that you want to have a starting place.
Yeah.
I remember when I had been taking some herbal stuff, and before you started taking all this herbal stuff, they said, well, you need to fill out this questionnaire. I said, okay. So the questionnaire was like, do you have headaches? You know, do you have stomach problems? Do you sleep or do you have energy? All these questions. And they said that the reason why, because they, you know, obviously they weren't in a place to diagnose you, but they said that what happens is that people, you know, it's like when you have a headache. You have a headache, you take some Tylenol, and then all of a sudden you don't have a headache, but you don't remember when the headache left. Right?
So absolutely.
It's important with the tracking to say, okay, what was happening in my business before I started putting these strategies in place?
Very, very true. So once you have that baseline snapshot and you've got your goals, let's dig in with low-hanging fruit strategy number one.
All right,
what
now,
is number one? What's the first thing we should jump into?
The first thing is something that's super simple and easy to implement, and that is the upsell technique. Now, an upsell is offering your clients additional products or services at the point of sale and before the customers complete the order. So these can be complimentary services or more expensive products or services. So the thing I love about this is that this technique can bring in extra business revenue without any additional expense. So the beauty of this is that when you have somebody about to buy from you, that's when the height of the emotion, they've already convinced themselves, right? They've done the logical argument of why they should buy from you. They've done the emotional of why they should buy for you. They have their wallet out. So that's when you want to ask them if they want to invest more with you, because it's a great time of you know, passion for your business and for your products. Now, the most famous example of this, and you know, I think everybody in the world probably knows this, is with McDonald's. And McDonald's asks,
"Do you want fries with that?"
Yes. And the beauty of that, now that is not as popular right now as it was probably, you know, 20 years ago, that you and I probably remember that. And
yeah.
And what happened is now they have us into this whole way of eating that it's not like anybody ever goes there and just buys a burger. Now we get into buying trios, right?
Yeah, the value meal.
Yeah, exactly. So now they ask you if you want to upsize it.
So bundling and supersizing even happens at lunch.
Yes, yes. And so it's super easy to do it. And so you might say, well, I'm not a restaurant. So, you know, it's easy to think of in a restaurant, you know, do you want an appetizer? Do you want a salad? Do you want a dessert? Do you want a coffee? Would you like some Kahlua in your coffee? Those are all little examples of an upsell that you could do.
Yeah.
But for a business, you might say, how the heck am I going to do this? So let's look at how we can implement this for a business. So I'll give you a client example to make this easier for people to visualize. I had a client, and when I first started working with him, I thought, oh, my gosh, I have my hands full here. And the reason why is the guy had been in business for, I think the company had been in business over 60 years. And the challenge was is that none of his staff was good, but he lived in a small one-horse town down south. And the majority of the people that worked for him went to his church or were related to him. So despite my, you know, after I got his intake session, I thought, well, we need to clean house here. As soon as he explained that, you know, these were all his family and church members and there's, you know, this tiny, tiny town, we couldn't do that, or the bad reaction and bad press would hurt his business more than anything we could do.
Yeah.
So we said, all right, you know, we have our hands tied here. What can we do? And so we said, let's implement the upsell technique. What we did is we took, and this is how you're going to do it for your business as well, is you make the list of the top 20% of the items you sell. And this is a good example of that you don't want to go creating an upsell for your least popular product, because you're not going to get the best bang for the buck on doing this strategy. You want to look at your top products first. Then you want to determine what would be an upsell for that product. So in this guy's case, we looked at an auto supply store, and we looked at what were his most popular things. It was oil, you know, for people coming in wanting to do an oil change.
Yeah.
Then we determined what would be the upsell for that product. Well, one of the things that we looked at was an air filter, because there's a list of other things that you should be doing when you're doing an oil change, but most people just do the oil change. So we looked at air filters and some hoses and things like that, not to get too technical. And then we created a written process, and we trained his staff and people on his team on that plan. And the incredible results that Sky had, this was at the beginning of the recession, his sales increased 48% in 1 month. And not just 48% in 1 month, but 48% over the year before that was pre-recession numbers.
Yeah.
So it was a huge upswing for him. So the thing that you want to do then is to make sure you're implementing that consistently. And then you want to track the implementation and retrain when necessary, because it's just like we talked about that mistake of no accountability. If you don't keep following up, the employees, you know, or even if it's just you yourself, you fall off the wagon on it. And then the thing that I like to do is make sure that you reward for increased sales. So we did some tracking in his back office so that his staff could see who was getting the most upsells. We were really tracking to make sure that people were remembering to offer it. And then he did some rewards for some of the people that were the top performers.
So that would be a great retail example. What about people that might be in a service business or a web-based business? What are some good examples there of this same upsell strategy?
Yeah, what I would suggest, again, look at the top 20% of the – an item could be a service – or it could be an online item, and look at those top 20% and then determine what that upsell would be. So, for example, say we took an accountant, for example. With an accountant, he might have a basic tax strategy that he does, or, you know, doing the tax return.
Yep.
But he could look at, all right, say my most popular product is the tax return. What could I do that would be an upsell? The people are already saying, okay, I have this pain point. I have taxes. I have to pay them. And then they're also especially in pain that they know that it's going to be money, right?
Yeah.
To send. That would be a great time to offer them, I will do a tax savings strategy session with you that we will go over and look at how you can maximize your savings for the next year's return. Because it's obviously, we're going to do everything that's possible to help you save money on this return, but there's some things that you can do proactively to save money for next year.
Yeah.
And that would be an example. Now, the thing that you want to make sure is that you don't want to see that fall off. So if you're getting 30% of the upsells in the first week, what's happening in your second week, your second month? Are you still getting that 30%? Now, if these are all new people, you should still be able to reach those numbers if people are still asking. Make sure that your staff is doing the upsell every single time. Now, in terms of a website, let's look at that. Now, there's some fabulous examples of this, and it's kind of like when you buy a white Toyota, then everywhere you go, you see a white Toyota. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes.
So now that you're aware of upsells, you're going to go to the store, you're going to go everywhere, and you're going to say, oh, my gosh, everybody is upselling me.
Yeah.
Why am I not doing this, right? So on the website, one of the places that you'll see that is on GoDaddy.com. Now, love them or hate them, they are a master of upsells. Because when you go to buy a domain, they're a domain registrar, they'll ask you, okay, you want to register businessoptimizercoach.com. Would you also like the hosting for that? Would you like, I mean, there's probably like 30 different products that they try to sell you.
Unbelievable. I mean, they'll take an $8 domain, and I've done this, and sounds like you've done it too. You go in for $8, and you leave, and you bought $50 worth of stuff.
Yes, yes.
Because you wanted the hosting, and the social media, and the SEO package, and the privacy, and it's like, yeah, I thought this was $8. Like, yeah, well, it was $8 with $42 of upsell.
Exactly, exactly. So you've fallen for it. And the thing is that, you know, the upsell, a lot of times people, when they have a bad attitude about selling or being sold or doing the sales, what happens is that they feel shy about doing the upsell. So one of the things you want to do is look at how can you serve your client. So it's not like, you know, GoDaddy's selling you all these things that don't go with what you're doing.
I wanted all those things, no
exactly.
question.
So you want to make sure, you know, the people that are listening that, you know, David might be like, I spent $50 instead of $8. But the thing is that he was happy because he got everything he wanted in one spot, and he didn't have to come back tomorrow and say, oh, crap, I didn't get this thing.
That's exactly right. Or I didn't know about that, and I wish I did know about it because I could have saved more money if I bought them together.
Right, right. Right, definitely. Or that you've spent 3 months doing your website without it and lost traffic, you know, sales and everything else, you know, going with that.
Right.
Now, the other one that I find extremely dangerous, even more than GoDaddy, is Amazon.com. Now, you're probably a reader like I am. Is that right?
Don't even get me started on my Amazon bill.
You know, some guys have to worry about their wives' shoe habits. My husband is like the books, man.
Totally.
And now I have a Kindle, so it's even more dangerous because I can buy them and I don't have to bring the bags home, right?
Yeah.
But the thing about Amazon, and, you know, if you're not an Amazon addict, go on there and check it out. Whatever you're looking at, they give you people that bought this were also interested in this. You know, here's some other things that might, and they even email you every month saying, you know, people that bought this author also liked these authors. So, you know, it's a great example of how they're working that upsell in, and it's helping people because if you like, say, for example, Dan Kennedy, and Dan Kennedy has a new book out, or Dan Kennedy wrote a different book with another co-author, they're going to show it to you at checkout, and you say, oh, I don't have that title yet. Yeah, add it to the cart.
Yeah.
And so that's very, very simple to do. So make sure when you're implementing this technique, the people that are listening, that not only do it for the products and services that you do, but also look at your website and say, okay, here's my product, and then here's some additional things that would go with that as well.
Perfect. So let's move on to the next strategy. What is our next low-hanging fruit idea?
Okay, well, the next one is reactivation of past clients. Now, you know, this is something that in the professional services with doctors, dentists, and chiropractors, they all talk about having reactivation strategies. Whether they do it or not is another thing.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of people, that's one of their big things that they talk about. But in other businesses, people don't do this. They don't, you know, like if the dentist, if you don't go to the dentist to get your cleaning in 6 months, what do you get in the mail?
Reminder, postcard.
Yeah, you get a little postcard. Then you get a phone call from the lady saying, David, you know, you're supposed to come in June. You know, you're a little overdue. Let's get you scheduled, right?
Yeah.
So the beauty of this strategy is that, again, it's not going to cost you, you know, obviously if you send a postcard, that'll cost you something. But it's not going to cost you any more marketing dollars because these are people that already like, know, and trust you. They've already bought from you in the past, so they're much more likely to buy from you again. And the thing that, you know, Dan Kennedy a lot of times talks about is that it's not your client's job to remember you. It's your job to make your clients remember you, which is a big marketing thing that, you know, we have to remember because a lot of times people, you know, I'm sure when you're advising people on marketing, they say, oh, that feels like a lot of marketing. But you have to make sure that you stick out amongst all the clutter and that people remember you.
So very true. Absolutely.
Now, the other thing with this strategy is that even if people don't buy from you again, so say, for example, you don't get your teeth cleaning appointment booked right then, you still are, they're deepening the rapport that you have because now, you know, they've called you, they've sent you a postcard, so maybe you didn't make an appointment right then, but you're still more likely to go back to that business than go and choose another dentist.
Yeah.
And you're creating that top-of-mind awareness that if they are going to choose something, so for example, it's a restaurant or something like that, when they think, okay, where am I going to go eat, they're thinking of you.
Yeah.
Now, in order to do this, I'd like to see the people on the call start calling at least 5 old clients a day. Now, the calling is very simple and easy to do because it doesn't cost anything. Now, if you want to get more into this, then, you know, you can do some direct mail and things like that to also support it, which is very worthwhile. It's much better than doing it with a cold list.
Yep.
Now, here's how we're going to implement this. First of all, you're going to create a list of past clients that you want to call. If you have past clients that weren't your best clients, don't put them on the list. You know, if you saw my product become a magnet attracting your perfect clients, I'm really big on not working with people that drain your energy and make you feel crappy.
Do not ask for referrals from the goofballs and the maniacs.
Exactly, exactly. And don't ask them to come back and work with you again.
Exactly right.
You know, because that energy that you have spend serving those clients, it just sucks you out, the energy out of you. So you have less energy to do your marketing, less energy to do all the things that make you successful. So the second thing is to create a script of what you would say to them. You know, and have it be conversational. Ask them some questions, interact with them, you know, ask some rapport-building questions, and ask questions that they can't say no to. So, you know, you want to create that script so that when you get on the phone, you don't get in that dumb air and start being like, what do I say?
Right.
And then at the end of the conversation, just let them know that you might have something that might interest them.
Let me ask Stacy, because this is so awesome, and I want to remind everybody, of course, that all of these tools and strategies are detailed in Stacy's download that you should have in front of you, and if you don't, run right now to www.businessoptimizercoach.com/dnewman. I want to ask you, Stacy, how do you turn that corner in this particular conversation? Where you're circling back, how are you, what's cooking, what's new in your business since we last connected? How do you then do that step 3 to let them know you have something that may interest them without going into sales mode or having that natural, easy conversation come to a screeching halt?
Well, first of all, you know, that's something that I cover in my Selling with Confidence is that sales mode doesn't have to come to a screeching halt, the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it from a place of serving. So
gotcha.
If you come from the place of serving the client, then it's more of a natural conversation. So, for example, I'm just going to use an accountant, for example. again. And so you could say, you know, hi, Bob, you know, it's Stacy, I'm calling. I just wanted to check in. I know we did your taxes last year. What I wanted to touch base with you about was, you know, let me ask you a question. Are you looking to maximize the savings that you're getting on your tax returns next year? Well, that's
no. I want to give Uncle Sam a lot more money than I need to, Stacy.
Well, see, then you're just not my perfect client. But see,
there you go. Exactly. Well, you're just a goober. I'm going to hang up the phone right now. I shouldn't have put you on my list in the first place to follow up with.
And the thing is that's an example of those questions that they can't say no to.
Right.
You have to create some yes questions. So
yep.
Once you create those yes questions, then when you go into offering them the product or service, they're more likely to say yes to you.
Because that makes a ton of sense.
Yes, I want to save money. Yes, I want to, you know, you might say, listen, we're having I have something new that I wanted letting my existing clients know about first.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that you guys are really valuable to me. And we're doing a free tax assessment to see how you can save money in the next year. And, you know, one of the things I'd successfully done with one of my accounting clients was to offer them a discount if they send in their taxes early instead of, like, April 1st.
Yeah.
I actually have an accountant client that goes on vacation in April. He goes to Israel every year in April, and I'm like, how do you do this? I've never heard of an accountant taking vacation in April.
He must implement that early bird strategy.
Exactly. So this is a good example of, you know, don't wait till they go so far away that they're not coming back to start to reactivate them.
Right. So you really are sort of bringing them back into your circle as both a friend and a trusted advisor. And this is not just some, because again, they're already clients, they're already customers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that factor where there's already the rapport and you're simply getting back in front of them with some additional ways to serve their best interest.
Right. Now, a great way to do this online, because I know a lot of people listening probably have online businesses as well, is to offer the people on your list something new. So, for example, I saw Allie Brown did this week, and I thought, oh, this is so brilliant. I want to do this. And what she did is she sent out an email, and she said, listen, I have this great new free resource for you. I have three new reports for you. And they were on three different topics, and that you could freely download them without any other opt-in because you're already on her list. But what it does is it reactivates you and your interaction with the client.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing now, she's using Infusionsoft, which then allows her to segment her list even further to say, okay, the people that clicked on this are interested in newsletters. The people that clicked on this one are interested in how to build, you know, online products. The people that clicked on this are interested in this topic. So now
yeah.
She can send you more follow-up things that really hone in on exactly what you want help with. So that would be a great way that if you feel like your list is not responding to you, when you're sending out your newsletters, your offers, offer them something free of value to them to get them perked up again.
And that, I think, relates directly to strategy number three, does it not?
It does, but it doesn't. It's a little different, but I'll explain how it works.
So let's pop into strategy number three.
Yeah, the third strategy is to offer your clients an additional product or service. So this is not necessarily what you're currently doing. That's the difference with this strategy.
Okay.
For example, one of my clients, again, this was during the recession, you know, we were looking at ways. Now, he was in the painting industry, okay? So you can imagine, and he was in Arizona, so you can imagine being in anything to do with home contracting in a resort area in a recession is not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Right? So what we looked at is, you know, what are the ways that we can increase his business without a lot of effort, without a lot of cost, and that can get him quick results? And so what we looked at is we looked at what his clients needed and what they were currently purchasing. So not just his painting services. And what we discovered is that they needed something that he was currently outsourcing. Like he was referring business to another company because he did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was he said, you know what, my guys could do that as well. It's not a problem. And by doing that, he increased his sales $100,000 per month.
Wow. So that's sort of insourcing, if you will, and expanding your own empire because they're going to buy it from somebody else anyway. Mm-hmm. They may as well buy it from you.
Right, exactly. So there's two ways for you to do this. Now, you can either develop a product or service to offer to your clients, you know, or your list, Or you could find a company that has a product that would benefit them and set up an affiliate or referral fee.
Yeah.
So what are the things that your clients, like for example, I have a client that has a spa, and she started offering Botox. Now, she's not doing the Botox herself, but she has a doctor come in once a quarter, and he does the Botox for people. Now, you know, the reason why she's doing that is that the people that are going to a spa are also going and getting Botox somewhere, right? So she's serving them that they can come in and have their facial and blah, 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 and they can also not have to go to the doctor's office and go get their Botox. So, you know, she was able to set that up with a nice referral fee.
Fabulous.
So, you know, just look at what else your clients want, what else they need, and that'll really help you develop what you could, you know, think outside the box. Like, get out a piece of paper and just start thinking, okay, my clients are these types of people. What are they? What are their pain points? What are they buying on a regular basis? What do they need? And then start looking for some opportunities to fulfill that for them.
I think I might need some Botox. Now that you mention it, it's like, wow, I can get that plus Botox? Yeah, sure, sign me up. So not Botox, but bonus. You have a low-hanging fruit bonus strategy that either comes with Botox or not. I'm not sure, but what's the bonus strategy?
Okay, well, the bonus strategy is to offer your products and services to someone else's list. Now, so this is kind of the inverse of the other strategy that we just talked about.
Right.
So we're looking at, okay, where else can I find my perfect clients? What other kinds of businesses have my perfect clients? So if you're an accountant, who else has your clients? You know, whether they're small business owners that you need to do taxes with. Well, it might be an attorney. It might be, you know, there's a business center that, you know, is leasing office space to them. There's lots of different places that you could find your perfect clients and people that are already working with them. Now, look at what you could offer to their list that would be a really good fit for them. And again, come from that whole place of serving instead of selling them. Like, what else can you do to serve? You know, if I was an accountant and I was going into, say, an office center that was renting office, I could say, listen, you know, as an added value for your rental, you know, your leasees here, what we can do is we could do a free seminar on how to save more money on your taxes next year. Now, this makes the building look good that's renting the office space, and it's a win-win for the accountant that's then getting in front of all of these perfect clients. Now, you could also do this online. Now, what I suggest you do is you write out a script before you talk to people to, you know, mitigate that whole factor when you get on the phone.
Right.
And, you know, look at, you know, what you could say to them that would make them see that it's a win-win situation. Because it's not just like, hey, you have a lot of great clients and I want to get my hands on them and take
right.
their money. It's really like, I see you have this type of clients and I also have this type of clients, and one of the things that they struggle with is X, and this is how I can help them solve that. You know, and this would, you know, make them look good, you look good in their eyes.
And then, absolutely.
You know, keep going until you get a yes. So, you know, for example, don't give up if, you know, you get 3 or 5 people that say no to you, that they're not going to do this with you. Keep going until you get, you know, some people that will do it with you.
Yeah.
And then the next thing to remember is to do the marketing for them. So if I'm going to go into this office building and do this accounting seminar for them, don't make them come up with the stuff to say, hey, we have this accounting seminar coming up. You write the copy for them. You provide them the emails. You provide them everything. And that way they're more likely to say yes. And
oh, my gosh, totally. Don't make them think. Don't make them work.
No.
Make it easy. Make it easy. So, Stacy, before we wrap up, I want to once again remind people about your fabulous website and your fabulous download that relates to all these low-hanging fruit strategies, which is businessoptimizercoach.com/dnewman. How else can people engage with you? How else can people follow up with you if they are so excited and have made so much money just from this little sample taste of what you might do for them? That they got to get a whole lot more of you. What are some ways that they can grab a hold of you?
Sure. Well, they can come to my website, businessoptimizercoach.com, and contact me there. I do offer private one-on-one coaching. So if they need help with, you know, they start to implement these strategies and they want some more, they're looking at, you know, how they want to increase their sales and their profits, we can definitely have a conversation about how I can help them with that. The other thing, you know, you can connect with me on Twitter and Facebook, Stacy Hyland. It's S-T-A-C-E-Y Hyland, H-Y-L-E-N. So I look forward to interacting with everybody there as well. Let me know what you've done and implemented. And I would just really encourage people to create your action plan. Like, don't get off this recording, this call, and say, you know, okay, I listened, I learned a lot of stuff. Learning doesn't help. I mean, there's a lot of poor teachers, right? So it's not the learning that's going to help you. It's the implementation of that learning. So look right now, go back through your notes and say, which of these strategies am I going to implement and when am I going to implement them?
As I like to say, Stacy Hyland, it's all about do it, right?
Yes,
do
exactly.
It.
That's why we're such a good...
This is why we're on the same wavelength here, right? It's like not about learning. It's about implementing. Don't get off this call and say, wow, that was really great call. And Stacy had lots of great ideas. And then go back into the flotsam and jetsam of your regular day and your busyness and focus on some of these things and increase your successfulness instead of your busyness.
Exactly. And the thing that I leave my clients with and my listeners always at the end of all of my calls or speeches or anything is to remember, don't just learn, implement.
And with those words, Stacy Hyland, thank you. Awesome information. One more time, just to make sure people do capture this and implement it, go right now to www.businessoptimizercoach.com/dnewman, and the treasures are waiting for you there that will put a lot more money in your pocket. So, Stacy, thank you so much, and we'll talk real soon.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.